Finlay Pretzel and Douglas Gordon. Hi, we're here. That's actually the question. Whose film is it? Is it your film or is it your
it's
film?
Him.
Douglas
it's
Gordon
him.
By Douglas
it's
Gordon.
Him. It's him. It's him. It's him. Him. It's him. It's him.
So you've been telling that over and over to everybody because everybody asked that question. So how did it start? How did you two get to know each other?
We met when Douglas made Zidane because I had to meet him because the film was mind-blowing. And it really taught me so much about filmmaking and set me on my path to make films, really. And then we met, and Douglas is the most generous-spirited person that I know, really. And he gave me so much.
Do you know how much I have to pay
him to see him? Yeah, it's a lot of money. But it's just bank transfers, not cash. It just straight into the account.
Is that the tax deductible?
Yeah, totally. No, but I think that, like, and when I met him, this kind of mythical, magical character was there. He was, like, super smart.
You met him when I was with
Ruth. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I remember.
So she's a magical miracle.
Yeah.
She's a walking miracle. She's a walking miracle.
How was it for you? Did you know that he wanted to make a documentary about you? And what were your ideas since you've been working in film?
It's not a documentary. It's a feature.
So you see it as fiction.
Oh, it's feature fiction. Now, wait a minute. I don't think it's a documentary. I think it's a feature.
So would you tell us a little bit more about it? How you see the whole film, the feature?
I've never seen it.
Are you curious to see it?
No. And the main thing is, I mean, of course I have seen it, but I don't want my mother to see it. I don't want my father to see it. I don't want my children to see it. I think it's an incredibly intimate portrait of an idiot, you know, me being the idiot. I'm okay with the rest of the world seeing it, what Finlay did. I don't want my children or my brothers or my sister or my parents to see it because it's really like under the skin, you know, it's really in there. And I'm okay to be revealed and represented for the rest of the world, but I'm not happy with it post, you know, because I live my life almost every day. Obviously I live my life every day, but as a kind of performer plaything. And I think that Finlay really captures that anxiety. Have you seen the whole thing?
Yeah, I have. So would you say...
How long was it?
It's about 2 hours.
And you did it?
I did it, actually, from beginning to end.
Thank you. Big respect. Because I fell asleep after 20 minutes.
Don't you dare.
Happens to the best.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Would you say it's hard for you to be yourself? And is it easier in front of the camera?
I don't even... One of the nice, great things is I wasn't feeling... as if I was being a subject for documentary. I just felt that this is a friend of mine who was observing my human behavior. I didn't even realize it was a camera.
We see you making art in front of the camera. How easy is it for you to make art?
Not easy. It's totally easy.
Or to be creative when somebody is watching. Is zero pressure at all?
I couldn't care less.
Finlay, when did the film structure take shape, or was there never a pre-scripted structure or idea where it would go?
No idea at all. And that was the beauty of it. That was the
because that's why we like each other, because I have good no ideas.
We both had no ideas. but that's always what's difficult to try and, in the early stages of trying to make a film, you want to try and control, organize, structure, schedule. But we soon realized working together that wasn't going to happen. We just had to go with the flow of what was going on. We just had to spend the time, literally 12, 15 hours in the studio together, myself, Douglas, and Martin, the cameraman, try and capture those moments of creation. Really, that's the only idea.
That was basically but it was basically not creation. It's just, I didn't even believe in that. It's, you know, I hate to say this, but one of the most important things I've done was the film with Philippe Farino, my brother, and to organize 17 camera people, 17 assistants to film a football match. And there's nothing like live. And I hope that people understand that you captured me alive. I'm alive. And it's not a posthumous bullshitty fucking sick, you know. If I wake up and the weather's bad, I mean, it's a fucking miracle what I'm here. I never go out in this weather, never. But I wake up and I am a happy man. And I go to sleep as a happy man. Whatever happens between waking up and sleeping, that's the adventure of every day. That's too radical. Cut it.
So I imagine it would be like a whole lot of material that you have if it's every day, like 15 hours. How do you know what you keep and what you discard? Or is there like a director's cut that's like several days long?
Yeah, I had the same question. What the hell?
No, there wasn't.
I think there's a longer version. Mm. Well, that's what she said.
It's very much like...
It's already quite long.
But in the film, we're kind of discussing that. We had to make decisions going along. Yeah, this is like taking me right back in, but we had to make some sort of decisions of what was before they actually happened. No. And I think it's that a certain element of truth, honesty, authenticity happened.
Trust.
And there was this alchemy and that would happen.
He wasn't there. He didn't talk to
him. I know, but I wish he had.
Alchemy.
And I think it's those moments of trying to just wait and not wait. And I suppose it's wait until that happens.
Patience,
and
we were just patient.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was this, and sometimes it would feel appropriate to film, sometimes you wouldn't. And I mean, appropriate is maybe the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
And Douglas was always the one that was saying, shoot this, or don't shoot that, or...
Shoot me.
But I think, and that's where that kind of trust thing happened. Because I knew, after maybe the first time we went, that Douglas would do something. He might not do what I imagined or hoped, but he would do something, and he would make something, and it would be magical. Whatever that might be, whether it's something he says or something he creates. The washing line scene in the film, I think, is magic.
Oh.
So many moments in the film that are, yeah. So when that, and that's a trust between us both, that I wasn't going to hoodwink him.
This was a film that someone else.
So what was the biggest challenge for each of you?
Sleeping. Bowling, archery, darts, whatever. I think the biggest challenge is yet to come.
Mm.
In general or in regard to this film?
Both. I mean, we can't win a golden fucking bear. I think it's a disgraceful concept anyway, a golden bear. Not what we need. I think that my real love would be that this film sinks into culture and then rises again and sinks back and rises again, because it's not a documentary. It's a cinematic work, I think. You know, have you ever seen the film All About Eve?
I've seen, yeah.
So, you know, it was so dismissed, and then it comes up into culture, and then it fades, and then it comes up, and then it fades. And actually, can you imagine that this film was actually not... See, this is why I don't like the word documentary. It's a fiction. It will come up in Buddha. It will come up in Buddha. It's not a documentary. It really isn't.
Do you see your life as a part of fiction, or would you say it's grounded in reality? Like, a lot of artists say that their life is part their best of their best creation, and it's part fiction, part reality.
I don't know. I'm a spirit medium, so I can do that and feel something and then make a decision by my fingers. Give me a hand. It's, you know, I don't care. I really don't care. I care for Finlay, and I care for David, but I care less. I mean, that's going to come out very badly. But I mean, I love, you know, the difference between love and care. I think that's evident in the film about the difference between love and care and adventure. You want your kids to grow up with adventure and love and care. That and the care and the love allows you to be adventurous. If I'm talking rubbish, hit me with a bottle. Because I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care. I really.
Do you care about prices? Because there's not just the gold bear, there's also the Turner Prize, which you got. And it comes up in the film. Did you say it's too much? The Turner Prize? Do you care?
No, it wasn't enough. They should have given me more money. I mean, we didn't go through the whole thing in the film. But I was a student in London, and then I went back to Glasgow, and then I got this news that you've been nominated for the Turner Prize. I was like, oh, really? What, I need to go down another fucking train to fit up. And then I get there, and I looked at the Tate Gallery with the same eyes that I had when I was 16 years old. So I'm not interested in what animals do. I go into the rooms where the William Blake pieces are, you know, and I just like fucking start drunk. I'm always about to start it right again, you know, and I think about the view beauty of art sometimes is really overwhelming. And then they say, you have to come in and look at the room that you are in. And I said, well, I'm not there. So I just do what I want. And yeah, the other artists that were there, you know, for the Turner Prize, you know, Craigie, Simon, Bill Blake. When I went in there, I thought, oh, he was not even 30 years old. That's a mess of Douglas. What is that fact that you have this? It's not a privilege, it's a challenge. What the fuck do you do with this fucking challenge? So I did the best I can because my mother and father would come and my sister, and I wanted them to be proud. So the artwork is actually a kind of an alibi for, it's an alibi for love. And then when the prize thing happened, I still don't believe I got it.
So now being here at Berlinale, if it means anything to any of you, what would it be?
I mean, we would come here and shoot with Douglas often when the Berlinale was on, and it's funny, it's a natural progression in a way, or it's not a natural progression. It's amazing it's here. It's, you know, it's very...
really going back to the script.
Yeah. No. But it shouldn't be anywhere else in a way. This is the place to show the film. Yeah. So it's amazing.
Right.
No, and it's hard to put into words actually at the moment because we've not screened the film yet and all the rest of it, but it's amazing. It's the place to be. And the respect and the love for the film that the programmers have is just, it's beautiful, you know, they get it.
It's an astonishing burial for me. No, really. I mean, this is the air for me. Not between us, done it. You seal up the coffin, fuck all too. But that's it. That's in a way, you know, when someone like Finley presents you with a mirror and you realize that you don't look the same and you'll change. I think at the end of the film is a beautiful point here because that's me done.
So no more films?
Apart from chapter 2.
Oh, I mean, I'll keep working.
We'll keep going, yes.
It's the end of that one.
Yeah, okay.
I,